And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
These are going to remain yellow school buses because who doesn't love a yellow school bus? They will remain yellow, but their heart will be green.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
Welcome to the program, blazetv.com/Stu. Use the promo code Stu to save 10%. StuDoesMerch.com will get you 10% off if you use the code Stu10 as well. If you're watching on YouTube, give a like to the video, subscribe to the channel, hit the bell for notification, do all the things. We appreciate it. Hunter Biden is hitting back, assumingly after he's hitting his bong. We have a former ABC News producer in deep, gross, horrible trouble. But we start by doing Mr. Beast. Now, you might not know who Mr. Beast is, but if you have kids or grandkids, your kids and grandkids know who Mr. Beast is. He is, I guess, probably the biggest YouTuber in existence. I think that's fair to say. And it's interesting to see his path. Let me give you a little bit of a taste of it. Here is the first video that Mr. Beast ever made.
From Saw, before you can advance, you must flip every switch and kill all the monsters that come out. If you try to open the door without killing them, you will explode. Okay. Here's your weapon. Ooh, a diamond sword. It's not smart, Saul. Now nothing can kill me.
If you don't see a path from that to $500 million, I don't know how you can't. I mean, look. It was quite obvious from the beginning this was going to be a massive success. Now look at that video, some little Minecraft thing that he built, some map. Here is one of his more recent videos.
I recreated every single set from Squid Game in real life. And whichever one of these 456 people survives the longest wins 456 grand. Under 5 minutes left, tons of jumps. This is going to get intense.
Oh, that was crazy.
Oh, oh. Tens go.
No. Another one gone.
Now, creating the entire set of a giant Netflix show and giving away, $500,000 in just one video, kind of it's become a big production, as you may have noted. Now, his early videos were things like he would go to college campuses and give out $100 for no reason and put it on YouTube and I guess try to earn back through YouTube revenue. And other ways to earn the money that he gave away and keep building that sort of machine. And he's done that incredibly successfully. Mr. Beast is estimated to be worth $100 million. And that's, of course, according to Celebrity Net Worth, which honestly, I don't even know why we even use those estimates. They're all over the board. I bet he's worth a lot more than that, frankly, at this point. He's one of the most subscribed YouTubers as of January 2023, with more than 130 million subscribers on YouTube. Besides the popular, that's more than we have, by the way. So, that's a slightly more than we have here on Stu Does America. Just in case you're looking, you don't need to look at the actual number, but it's slightly less than 130 million. Besides the popularity and revenue he has earned through his viral videos, the YouTuber reportedly has made $24 million in 2020 through the sale of his merchandise and sponsorship with major brands, including Microsoft, EA as well. Reportedly, he makes a minimum of $3 million per month from his YouTube ads alone. His real last name is Donaldson. Donaldson started the Feastables brand primarily as a chocolate company, but has since expanded into cookies, merchandise, and more. Mr. Beast Burger is a ghost kitchen falling under the Mr. Beast umbrella and has since opened his first physical store in the American Dream Mall in New Jersey. And on and on and on and on and on and on. The guy makes millions and millions of dollars off of everything he does at this point. And of course, that makes him a target. He's a big figure out there on the internet, and you expect it to, you're going to, along with that comes some criticism. Now, a lot of his his videos have been this type of thing, like you saw with the Squid Game thing, where he makes a big sort of spectacle. He gives away a ton of money for people doing sort of silly challenges. Sometimes he comes in and just gives people random houses. I watched a video one time where he went in and bought every car in a car dealership and then just waited for people to come to look at the cars, and whichever one they looked at, he just gave them the car for free. You know, it's kind of like, you know, he does a lot of stuff like that, just makes people happy, and it's fun content to watch. It's stuff that I don't necessarily mind my kids watching, which there's like three people on YouTube that I allow them to watch. Mr. Beast is one of them, most of the time at least. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's just content, right? It's something that's just enjoyable. And, you know, it's kind of fun to see these people win all this money. Well, you know, over the years, he's expanded and started doing things that are legitimately good for people. Not just, hey, here's a bunch of money because you know, kept your hand on the car the longest, but stuff that is changing people's lives. He's decided to take what he does really well, which is connect with people on YouTube, and turn that into something that has been amazing and life-changing for tons and tons of people. Again, not just giving a bunch of cash, which is obviously great, but also things like his most recent video. Watch.
Most of us see the world like this. But here's the thing, 200 million people see the world like this. But I just made it one less.
Oh. Wow.
She's just one of 1,000 blind people we help from around the world.
They can't see, but we have all the technology to fix it.
Yep. Half of all the blindness in the world is people who need a 10-minute surgery.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So he's doing a video in which he's paying for surgeries for 1,000 people so they are no longer blind. What could possibly be criticized from this? This is an incredible thing, something that you couldn't imagine an individual just doing because they can stream from their phone. I mean, what an incredible world we live in. This is a blessing. It's a miracle. It's a great thing. Well, of course, that's not how a lot of people see it. Let me give you a little bit more of this video. Here is Mr. Beast with someone who, and this is like a cataract surgery. This is something that, you know, Doctors Without Borders go across borders into places like North Korea to cure people of. It's a relatively inexpensive, relatively quick surgery, but it's like sucking out a cloudy lens from your eye and putting in a synthetic lens, and it can cure your blindness almost immediately. Here is someone named Charlie who had this problem.
Our next patient is Charlie.
You're not able to read any of this text on the TV?
No, it's an E or center, I think.
He won't know he won 10 grand until after his surgery. I can't wait to see his reaction.
Charlie sees everything like this, and it's made him and his family's life extremely difficult.
I was a cashier, my eyes was getting so bad, I couldn't see how much the money to give back. I just want to get my vision back so I can go back to work.
You're gonna be really happy after this surgery.
We'll see after it.
Trust me, you will see.
What's it like?
Oh, wow.
All right, let's see if he can read it now. What does this say?
You just won $10,000.
Here you go.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Yes,
it feels good. I didn't think I'd ever be able to see again.
Here's this guy who just wants to go back to his work as a cashier. He wants to go back and do his job. Not only does Mr. B step in and pay for his surgery, but then gives him an extra $10,000. And he did this over and over and over again. Another guy named Satchel really wanted to get out there and drive. Here's what happened.
Then, good, you know? I'd be like looking at the cars and I'm like, wow, I can see that car all the way over there.
That's good, if you're gonna drive it.
Yeah.
I have a surprise for you. Do you mind putting on this blindfold?
Hold on.
I know it's a little ironic that we just did the surgery. Satchel, take off your blindfold.
What?
This is your brand new Tesla. If Chris wrecks it, I'll buy another one.
Literally, I cannot put into words how I feel right now.
What a terrible, terrible guy this guy seems like. He buys him a brand new Tesla. He did drive around the cones and hit a couple of them, so be a little aware. I don't know how long it takes to drive from the time you have surgery. Just if he's driving next to you, maybe just give him a little bit of distance. I mean, the guy just, he couldn't see a few days ago. This is something that I think we should all come together and say, wow, like what an impressive thing. This guy didn't have to do that. He could have just done dumb videos and made money, but he decided instead to help 1,000 people go from blind to be able to see. What an incredible thing. But of course, what's the headline coming out of this story? YouTuber MrBeast defends himself after a video in which he said he was curing 1,000 blind people divided viewers. How could something like this divide viewers? Well, people came out and they said that he was exploiting those in need. He said that we have to, that people were saying it was disgusting what he was doing. One person said it's a never ending cycle of content creation that makes Mr. Beast feel insidious. Insidious. They're calling this guy insidious after he, on his own accord, cured 1,000 people of blindness. They're calling him insidious. The underlying notion is if the camera wasn't on to feed the machine, nothing would happen. This dystopian thought, we're relying on YouTube views instead of competent government for assistance. And of course, this gets to the bottom line. This always gets to the same bottom line. Well, if something's going to be done, why isn't the government doing it for us? Why isn't the government doing it for us? We should have the government paying for all this, not just some YouTuber. And look, you know, I can understand that instinct at some level. We all want people to get the basic health care that we need. But just so you know, this surgery doesn't exist, and it's certainly not this inexpensive without capitalism. Capitalism is the thing driving all of these innovations that other governments get on board with later on and start paying for their citizens in incredibly inefficient ways, we should point out. You want an appointment for that surgery? Well, you can get an appointment. But I got news for you. An appointment is not healthcare. If you got an appointment for something that's millions of years out in the future because your entire system is overrun with debt and bloat, well, that's not all that much healthcare now, is it? People said it was deeply frustrating. They said it was disgusting and repulsive. And so Mr. Beast sees all this and he tweeted this, Twitter, rich people should help all others with their money. Mr. Beast says, me, well, okay, I'll use my money to help people and I promise to give away all my money before I die. Think of that promise. I mean, there's very few people who do that. He says every single penny. And of course, Twitter says, well, Mr. Beast is bad anyway. And look, Twitter is Twitter. You know that this is, of course, going to come whenever you do something like this. But this is the type of activity we should be encouraging, celebrating. This is a miracle. One guy with a stupid YouTube channel, started out making Minecraft videos. And now he's able to help 1,000 people see when they couldn't before. What an incredible thing to do. And yet all he's dealing with is criticism. And as to the point where people are saying, well, actually, we're not even criticizing him. We're criticizing the American system because it's so bad and we don't like America, even though we benefit from it all the time. For those people saying that, probably didn't make it to the end of the video because it wasn't just Americans who were helped by this.
Not only are we helping people here in America, but we're also going to other places around the world.
Because unfortunately, nearly half the population with curable blindness doesn't have access to this surgery. So I wanted to provide this to as many people as possible.
The overwhelming majority of people he helped, seemingly by the video, were outside of the country. And by the way, located in countries that have universal health care. Those countries have it. Why? I don't know. Why they couldn't get those surgeries that entire time. Could it be that that system really isn't the answer? And isn't the answer all over the world? Mr. Beast decided, hey, I can do this. People will watch it. I can make a bunch of money. And then I can help these people at the same time. That's something that we should celebrate. And here he is kind of putting the cherry on top of the sundae at the end.
As a thank you, because you were just so gracious in this video, we want to make a $100,000 donation.
It'll bring sight to thousands of people.
You know, it's funny because all the criticism that came to Mr. Beast from this, you didn't see any of it asking the people who were able to gain their sight what they felt about the video. How do they feel about it? Do they feel exploited? Do they feel terrible about this guy who's really, really rich helping them get their surgeries? Did they feel terrible about it? You know what? No one asked because no one cared. No one cared about how those people felt, with the exception of this guy on YouTube, Mr. Beast. Here's a guy who actually did care. He cared enough to change all of these people's lives for the better. And what does he get out of it? An incredible amount of criticism and hatred. It's insanity. Capitalism has brought the world incredible bounty, more than any other system in human existence. All the things that we depend on today are almost exclusively from capitalism, even at their infancy. You see things that were born through capitalism and then get adopted, like medications that get adopted in other countries with universal health care. But where do these inventions come from? They come from this country, and there's no coincidence. These incredible innovations, this surgery, all these things come from an innovative system like capitalism, and then they're distributed all throughout the world. And look, I'm happy about that. I want that to continue. But we should recognize, without a capitalist society driving this type of innovation, it doesn't exist. And the fact that we can look at this system and say there's so much good, and sometimes there is some bad, and then we find somebody who decides to take capitalism and use it for its ultimate good. He's doing good with all of this innovation and capitalism and the free market in action. And then we sit here and criticize a guy who's taking his money and deciding to donate, he says, every penny before he dies, to make other people's lives better. And the reaction to that is negative. We should be encouraging this sort of stuff. We should be saying, hey, this is fascinating. This is fascinating that somebody can do something like this, that can create content that people really like. And by the way, makes a lot of people happy. People who enjoy watching other people have their life changed for the better. We could sit back and we can watch this. We can help. We can do something that's good for people. At the same time, he's not only enriching himself, but all the people who work for him. He's entertaining millions of people at the same time. He's doing all of this good and changing people's lives at the same time. This is fantastic. This is a great, great thing. And it doesn't deserve one word of criticism. Congratulations to Mr. Beast. Congratulations to these thousands of people around the world whose lives were changed by a freaking YouTube video. We do YouTube videos all the time. We never change anybody's life. We never do anything good for anyone. We're ruining people's lives right now just by watching this. We couldn't do that, but hey, I'm so glad that someone like Mr. Beast has done it. And thank God now he can get like 1,000 more views on his videos because all these people can now see. So good all around. Back in a second. Let me tell you about another company who's doing a lot of good, Grip 6. Grip 6 is a great company. And one of the things that they do is they come out with these, they have these great belts, fantastic wallets, really cool, you know, warm socks. And they have decided to do good for people right here in America. They service America. They sell all around the world, but they also sell right here in America. But they source everything they do right here in America. So like for these socks, for example, we're in the, you notice I'm in a my wife's podcast studio, the Lisa Page Made Me Do It podcast studios. And we are in the middle of an ice storm. We, you know, are not able to get into work to do the show today. So what do we do? Well, one of the things that we do is we put really warm socks on our kids when they go outside. We use the Grip 6 socks for that. And like, you know, these are socks that they keep your feet warm, but they're not super thick. I have some socks that are really, really thick. They keep your feet warm, and that's great, but you can't even fit them inside your shoes. Like you need, you know, you can be wearing boots to even put them on. These are like normal thickness socks that keep your socks, your feet really, really warm, your toes really warm. It's really important this time of year. The belts are awesome. The wallets are innovative. You'll really like those as well. Check them out. Go to grip6.com/stew. Use the code stew. You'll save 15% right now. Grip6.com/stew. Get 15% off today at grip6.com/stew. Really bizarre story from ABC News. They didn't tell us anything about it, but ABC News producer, he was a guy, James Gordon Meek is his name, and you might recognize this name from a few months ago. We talked about it on the show, talked about it a lot on radio. He was a guy who really looked into government corruption. He looked at the FBI and the CIA and covered this. Really, like, he was an award-winning producer, and he kind of all of a sudden just disappeared. And no one knew what happened to him, to the point of like, there were multiple articles written like, is this guy even alive? Like, what happened? Did he get, at one point he was seemingly raided. He was taken off by authorities. No one knew what happened to him. And everyone was tight-lipped. The no statement from ABC, no statement from any of his friends. He had all these people who were really close to him and had done award-winning work with him. No one would speak up for him. No one knew what was going on. And the time at the time, the speculation was sort of like, wait, did he get taken by authorities? And was he on to some big story and taken away? We also talked about the potential possibility that, you know, maybe just his family just didn't want to talk about whatever was really going on. You know, I don't know. I kind of speculated in my mind, is it some sort of major drug problem or something like that? Well, the story came out today as to what was going on, and it's much, much worse than that. He was found to have child porn charges and soliciting minors for sexual pictures. He had, they have all sorts of chat logs of him saying repulsive, disgusting things about really young children. So we don't, now, like, there's already, you know, of course, when you don't trust your media and you don't trust your institutions, there's already, the conspiracy theories are already flying. Like, of course, you know, of course, this is what they would say. Someone who's onto a big story, they're going to say that he had child porn and they're going to plant it on his computer. This may very well be his defense, by the way, if he has one. But I mean, it is an absolutely repulsive story. They have highly documented his usage and which phone was his and how they knew it was him. It's a lengthy report from the court, but really an ugly, ugly situation. That's what they're saying now. And these charges are now public. We'll keep following that for you as we go forward. Now, another really repulsive guy who's done really repulsive things is Hunter Biden. He is now firing back at his detractors who have been talking about him for a while. And it's interesting to see the change in philosophy that's gone on here. When the Hunter Biden laptop came out, if you remember, he was interviewed about it and he said, I don't know. I'm not sure if I left it there. I don't know. Was it mine? I'm not sure. Can't really say. A bizarre, ridiculous excuse that really I don't think anyone actually bought. But the media tried to portray it as, we don't know for sure if it's really his laptop. We can't really talk about it. Who knows? We don't know where it came from. Well, now Hunter Biden is finally admitting it is his. He's coming out and trying to threaten everybody who's been talking about him, saying, hey, you guys are liars. You guys are putting all sorts of information from my personal life out there for everyone to see. We all know that he was with prostitutes and doing drugs on camera and all these terrible things. And in fact, recently, the most recent thing that came out of the laptop was apparently his pretty blatant Me Too violation against some sort of underling. He was an assistant that he had that he was asking to be filmed in as they were taking a shower. All these repulsive, repulsive things. And now his new thing is, instead of sitting back and trying to deny and hope it goes away, he's now firing back and getting aggressive legally in what we can only assume is the first foray into a series of lawsuits against people he believe at least have said things that are not true or that you know, defamed him in some way. We'll see how that goes. I think it's also a preparation for what likely is an indictment against him. He's thinking, I need to get out ahead of this and make it seem at the very least like it's a partisan thing. And a lot of times people say, well, I want to get to the point where everyone believes me. And a lot of times for people who are in the position of Hunter Biden or maybe even James Gordon Meek, the goal is not to get to the point where people believe you. The goal is to get to a point where it becomes a partisan issue, where your side is with you and their side is against you. Get to a 50-50 situation. When you're in a situation where you're doing cocaine off of hookers' bellies, like, getting to 100% victory is not really an option. Getting to 50-50 is a dream. So that's what he's trying to do now. Turn this into some partisan thing where you can't trust Republicans. Rudy Giuliani's a bad guy. You can't trust anything he says. And just hoping that the partisan thing that is inherent in our society will kick in and be his barrier against these attacks. I don't know if that's going to work. I think people are seeing through that, but we will continue to follow those developments, as icky as they are, as we go forward. Well, one guy you can be absolutely certain would not lower himself to discuss an item like Hunter Biden is, of course, Alex Stein, one of the most refined political commentators in our world. Alex, you may know him as a person who goes to these town hall events and just, I don't know if heckles them is the right term. I don't think that's it. I think he's making statements based on how crazy their policies are. He's mocking the world. He's pointing out the absurdity in the world. There's a great tradition in conservatism of going out there and just mocking the absurdity, calling it out, highlighting the nonsense that's going on. He does that on a daily basis, and he's going to be doing it right here on Blaze TV. He's Primetime 99. He's the pimp on a blimp. And of course, that is his promo code. Yes, pimp on a blimp, the promo code. Sign up for Blaze TV now. The show starts on February 8th. It's pimp on a blimp to get $20 off Blaze TV at blazetv.com/primetime. blazetv.com/primetime. It's Primetime 99. Alex Stein. Use the code pimp on a blimp. $20 off at blazetv.com/primetime.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Well, Ilhan Omar was kicked off the House Foreign Affairs Committee in a party line vote that followed a contentious debate on the House floor Thursday morning that included yelling and Omar defending herself on the verge of tears. Aw, that's so sad. House Republicans had their sights set on removing Omar after she made what Kevin McCarthy recently described as repeated anti-Semitic and anti-American remarks, which is obviously true. In fact, even Democrats chided her for that. The vote was 218 to 11. Democrats have pushed back on Republicans, trying to compare the rebuke of Omar to those of Marjorie Taylor Greene, saying that those offenses are not the same. And then we had a ridiculous speech by AOC in defense of Ilhan Omar, saying, oh, well, this is just about a person of color, which is a weird statement because, you know, Adam Schiff is not a person of color. And he's also getting removed from these committees. It's just nonsense. But it's exactly what you'd expect. Mike Lee and Rick Scott are also losing committee seats. And it's shocking because, you know, Rick Scott kind of publicly challenged Mitch McConnell for leadership. Mike Lee seems supportive of that effort. And so both of them are now losing their committee seats. So this is the two ways that you do it. You either ask for better leadership or you say anti-Semitic things. Those are the two ways you lose committees. You tell me which one is more important. Finally, the Satanic Temple is going to open a clinic providing religious abortion care named for Justice Samuel Alito's mother. They are saying that they are going to, because it's a religious practice, they're going to give abortions out for free, although you have to still actually pay for them $90, so it's not exactly free, but I guess low-cost abortion for everyone who wants to go to the Satanic Temple. And, you know, I would not support any abortion bill, but maybe I would support one to say, if we're going to have abortion in this country, they should all occur at Satanic temples because it's the most appropriate place for them. So I know that the Satanic Temple is just trying to make their little point about religion and abortion, but maybe they are making a different point expertly here that those things, maybe Satanism and abortion, are more closely connected than they'd like to admit.
I'm joined now by a man who needs no introduction, but I will give you one anyway, because that's what I do here. He's an actor, producer, and now host of the audio podcast version of his wildly popular series, American Campfire Revival. It's Kirk Cameron. Kirk, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Hey, man, great to see you. Great to talk with you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I want to start by asking you a very stupid question, but I'm fascinated by this.
I love these kinds of questions.
Did you actually record the podcast by your actual campfire, actually outdoors?
Absolutely. Listen, when I started the American Campfire Revival, did not intend to be a show. This was the last ditch effort to maintain my sanity when I was under house arrest from our governor, Gavin Newsom, out here in the communist state of California during the pandemic, when everyone was under lockdown. And I thought, rather than just wait for the first 100 days of the new president's plan to just roll out from Capitol Hill, why don't we, as the family of faith, have a plan to bring restoration and hope and healing to America? So I figured I'd pull some mandates from heaven, like if we would pray, if we would turn from our own wicked ways, if we would seek God with all of our heart, maybe he'll hear our cries and he'll heal our land. So I started doing that and made 100 consecutive campfires in my backyard, prayed with the nation, and talked through the founding principles of America that I learned in this book called The American Covenant. And it's been bringing hope to hundreds of thousands of people, including myself.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. That's the topic of the first episode of this podcast, The American Covenant. And I don't think a lot of people know the backstory here. I think, you know, we kind of have this idea that America is an exceptional place. And, you know, we've done a lot of great things in this country. But there's a real connection to our founding and the faith behind it. Can you talk about this a little bit?
Yes, and this has been so blurred by people who like to throw out this phrase like it's an atomic bomb toward people of faith, the separation of church and state, and they completely malign it. We ask the big question today, those of us who have been around for 30 years, 40 years, who have kids, what's going on in our country? How is it that the America we have today is not resembling the America that led the entire world by example with religious freedom, economic freedom, political freedom, the best education, all of these kinds of things? And the simple truth is that we have forgotten the sacred covenant that our founding fathers and mothers made with our Creator. And the meaning of that covenant, that sacred promise, has been canceled by a secular elite that is at war with the truth and caused us to think that faith has no place in the public square. It has no place in the halls of Congress, that it's something that ought to be private and personal only, because once it gets out, it causes problems. And the truth is, the opposite is true. It's faith that can bring us back to our roots, that can give us our moral compass again, and that can set us on a path toward healing and hope and prosperity again as a nation. And so that's what I am doing, is sharing all these principles through the American Campfire Revival as I take to my backyard, making real campfires and getting this out to the podcast universe.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting going through the COVID thing. There was a moment there where I thought, you know, maybe we will sort of wake up and see that, you know, the things that we deal with on a daily basis are really small in comparison to these larger issues, as you talk about, with faith and grander principles. And those are the moments where you really need them, right? When the rest of the world seems to be falling apart, that is one of the biggest times you need to have faith. And there was a moment there where I thought maybe we would recapture it, but lately, it feels like we're going down the wrong road all over again.
Yeah, I think we are. And what I'm excited about is that history teaches us some important lessons. And one of the things that John Adams said as they were dealing with the American Revolution and morals are in the toilet, spiritual apathy is everywhere, people aren't going to church, they're not reading their Bibles, corruption politically and in the church is sort of commonplace. And then there was this great revolution that took place in people's hearts, a revival, if you will. And he said that the war was already won once the war for the hearts and the battle for the mind had been secured by the people with God. All of a sudden, they love God. They want to do what's right with their neighbor. They have a moral compass that serves as the moral foundation for the laws, and they want maximum freedom under those good laws to be able to grow and be blessed and bless others. And so what he said is it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather a tireless, irate minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. That's what I'm trying to do with the American Campfire Revival, is set brush fires of freedom in the hearts and minds of men and women. The trouble is, it's hard to start a fire if the wood is wet. And we have been so saturated with freedom and blessing in this country for so long that it's difficult to get people to have a fire burning for liberty and freedom, because it's been the norm. We've enjoyed a generation of such blessing that we don't value it anymore, but it's drying up. And dry wood catches fire when there is a spark. And I believe that when we get back to these original principles, the fire is going to continue to spread from school board meetings to city council meetings. People are running for office and getting involved in these midterm elections. And I hope the fires of revival spread 0% contained out of my backyard, across every county and state, and cover this whole land.
Yeah, I think you're starting to see it, too. I mean, I do think there is a movement here where people are starting to wake up and see that, you know, the previous God that a lot of the country decided to embrace was government, and that people decided to look towards Washington, D.C. to solve all of their problems instead of relying. I know you talk about it in the podcast, the idea of self-governance. It was something that our founders talked about was only possible among a religious and moral people. Are we the type of people that can execute that vision today?
Absolutely, we are. We as the family of faith are the key to turning the nation around. You know, it really comes down to, do you want freedom to live your life as you want under God? So there is some form of moral restraint, and that is the law of love. Love God with all your heart, which is the greatest commandment, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do you want to live like that and then prosper and live as you like, and be able to be generous enough to bless your neighbors and take care of the poor and the needy in your community? Or do you want to serve an all-powerful government, an oligarchy? Do you want to move towards socialism or communism or even a dictatorship where you have some group of elites that promise to take care of everything from healthcare to education to your finances to your safety in every area? History tells us that never works out well. But if you'll govern yourself under the eternal rules of right, and you will let that be the foundation of your laws, and you educate your children in those good principles, you can be both liberated internally from selfishness and greed and be liberated externally from tyrants and bad governments. And we absolutely can do that today, because we have more resources and a rich heritage of this that's been enshrined in our liberty documents, like the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And we just need to get back to them and remember what we've forgotten.
Yeah, it's so true. When you have self-governing principles, a higher power to understand, all these problems tend to work themselves out. I mean, we had a good run with that idea, and I don't know why we've tried to abandon it. Let me ask you a little bit about, when we're talking about government, you live in California. I have to ask you what it's been like over the past couple of years to live there under Gavin Newsom, a guy who clearly seems to want to be the next president of the United States. I know Gavin Newsom loves Gavin Newsom. What do the people of California think about Gavin?
Well, it's hard to tell. You know, with so much shenanigans going on in the realm of elections, we had our governor was recalled here in the state of California. And it's just shocking to me to see how the most conservative places in California allegedly voted for him again. I don't know what's going on, but I'm sure glad that there are poll watchers. I am so glad people are waking up and they are paying attention and realizing that it's now or never. We've got to get out of the bleachers and get into the arena and fight for what we believe in. And we got to do it the right way. We don't do it top down like Mr. Newsom does, where you just impose rules on people, but you do it from the bottom up. You do it from your kitchen table as you teach your children faith and morals, and you educate yourself and learn who we are and what we've done in the past to overcome these problems. If we don't know what we've done, we'll forget who we are. And if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, like Ronald Reagan said, we will be a nation gone under. Mm. So living here in California has been challenging, but it's my home. And I don't want to retreat. I want to fight for what matters in the place where my children have grown up, because what happens in California eventually spreads to the rest of the nation. So we want to stop the bad here and start to proliferate the good.
Thank you for being on the front lines there. We do appreciate it, Kirk. Last one for you here. We're going through, you know, we went through a couple really rough years with COVID. A lot of really awful things happened. Was there something, though, to take positive, making the best of a bad situation, whether it was with family or reconnecting with your faith? I mean, there are a lot of positive stories like that.
There sure are. Personally, I love the time with my family. And one of the most amazing things happened is that no one saw this one coming, but since so many schools were shut down in California during the pandemic lockdowns, parents had their kids sent home to learn public school curriculum on their laptops in their living rooms. And when parents saw the horrific things that their children were being taught, everything from being taught that they can choose their own pronouns to 1619 Project, to CRT, to hate our God, hate our country, hate the parents' oversight in their life, they yanked their kids out of school by the droves, and homeschooling doubled during the pandemic. And so I actually had a chance to make a documentary all about the increase in families who are now taking back education and putting faith and freedom back into their children's lives by teaching them at home. And I made a documentary called The Homeschool Awakening to document all of this. So there's actually a lot of good things that have come out of this, particularly for those who have eyes of faith, because then you can see past the dark veil and the curtain and understand that every individual person has been given an assignment. And if you've got kids, there's your number one assignment. And I think that the family is the number one instrument that has always been used to bring about hope and healing in the world. And we're getting back to those values right now because of these challenging times.
Very cool. We do need an American campfire revival. Kirk Cameron is here to light the spark. The podcast is out now. Make sure to check it out and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Kirk, thanks so much for doing this and coming on the program.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Keep up the great work.
All right. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just this promise. If we get to 130 million subscribers, I will cure 1,001 people of blindness. That's right. That's the kind of guy I am. You know, just one better than everyone else you know. That's me. And so I appreciate everyone's in continued support on YouTube. Let me give you a couple of comments. Algorithmic engagement comments help us get to that 130 million number. Ashley writes, an awkward green-haired girl living in New Mexico walks into your last power hour, and weeks later, you're saying something good is actually taking place in New Mexico in the exact town she lives in. Coincidence? I think not. You're welcome, America. Ha ha, five stupendous stars. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Ashley. Hungry Chair writes in, I liked your comment about how you pay tax dollars for nothing because your children don't even use the public school system. I personally have no children and wonder why I don't get to keep that portion of my tax dollars. Yeah, I would be wondering that and did wonder that before I had kids many, many times. None of this makes any sense. Michelle writes in, love the fake being Stu being a hero stories. Yeah, we've been getting those in lately. We might have to give you a little, if you have a story of me doing something heroic, it's not actually true, but it's really compelling. We will share it on the program because, of course, I'm going to say that I already did save 1,001 people from blindness. That's a fake hero story and a perfect one. So you're welcome, those 1,001 people who were able to hang out and check that out. I appreciate it. Also, I want to tell you about Groundhog Day. Punxsutawney Phil. Yeah, he saw his shadow. Six more weeks of winter. Congratulations, everyone. You did it. Groundhog was teaching us about the weather. And of course, one of the greatest movies of all time, Groundhog Day. We all know that. We all believe that. But one thing that's interesting is normally the coverage around Groundhog Day is this thing where people say, oh, well, Punxsutawney Phil actually is terrible at telling you the weather. He has a terrible record. Axios is saying that's not true. I want to give you this chart. They say over the last 75 years, he's overperformed a coin flip everywhere in America. He's at, I think it's 69% accurate over the last 75 years, 64% over the last 25 years, and over the last 10 years, only 57%. Accurate. But look, that's pretty darn good for a stupid animal. So, you know, just letting you know, in case you want to believe Punxsutawney Phil, you've got some stats to back you up there. Thanks so much for dealing with all of our hassles this week. You know, we've had trouble connecting to the guests. We were able to play the Kirk Cameron thing for you, but it's just been like an adventure in an icy winter wonderland here in Texas. We will see you tomorrow.